Simon Peches in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya discusses distancing measures, herchokis, between basar b'cholov. The title of the simon is Shlel Halis Basar Ala Shulchan. One should not place meat on a table, kishrichin gvina, in a place where one is eating cheese. Sif Aleph is based off the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. There we learn. Kol ha-basar asur levashal b'cholov. One is not meant to cook any meat with milk, chutz mibsar dogim v'chagav, with the exception of the flesh of fish and locusts. V'asur lahalkas magvina ala shulchan. Furthermore, one is forbidden to place cheese on the table with any meat, chutz mibsar dogim v'chagav, unless the meat in question is the flesh of fish or locusts. The Gemara says, Amar v'yosef shvamina b'sar oif b'cholav da'iraisa. We can infer from this that chicken meat mixed with milk is also deraisa. The salak dech the rabbanon achila gufig zera v'anan nigzer halal ato achila. Because if you would think that eating chicken with milk is only a din derabbanon, eating chicken with milk if it's derabbanon is a gzera. It's a rabbinic prohibition. So if that's the case, could it be the case that we'd really add two layers of gzera, two layers of prohibition? Vanan nigzer hallo ato achila. Would we then say that one could not put chicken on the same table as milk because one's concerned that one is going to eat it, which is only rabbinic prohibition? Ishar sle la suke oif ugvina, osi la suke basar ugvina, umechal basar b'cholov deraisa. So the Gemara concludes that if you'd allow somebody to put chicken with milk on the same table, then somebody will come to put actual meat with milk on the same table. And then one will end up eating basar b'cholov deraisa. Maskif la'ev sheishes, if sheishes asked on this, seif seif, tzayin b'tzayin hum. Ultimately, aren't you dealing with two cold items? Amar Abaya, gzeira shemiyala b'ilfas reseach. The concern is that maybe one will take boiling hot meat in a frying pan and put it on their table. And then they'll put some cheese or milk into the frying pan and then it will be basar b'cholov. The Gemara asks, soif soif klisheni. Isn't it usually the case that your frying pans are only going to be a klisheni? The klisheni mevashal. So the Gemara answer is, l'gzeir shemiyala b'ilfasrishin. There's a concern that one will actually take a pan that had been on the fire and then put milk into the pan. The Mishnah then continues, ha'oif oile im hagvina al hashulchan. Chicken may be placed on a table together with cheese. Veninecha, but you should not eat the two together. They're beshame. That is beshame's thing. Beshilim, beshilim ever say, loy oile velinecha. One should neither put chicken and cheese on the same table nor eat the two together. Amravyesi said Ravyesi zumukula beshame mechorm beshilil. This is an instance where beshame is lenient and beshilil is stringent. With respect to which table was this said, with respect to a table which one is eating on. Aval b'shulchan shesudar olav. It's a tavshil. But if one had placed cooked dishes on this table, then meaning to say, if you're only using the table as a staging area for other foods, but you're not eating on the table, then one can put the chicken and the milk next to one another, and there's no concern. So first of all, what's the reason behind this gzeira? What's the reason behind this rabbinic decree not to put meat and cheese on the same table? If we're dealing with milk and chicken, then cooking them together isn't awesome out here. So it would follow that placing them on the same table should certainly not be problematic, certainly because the two are cold. And even if we'll say that you're dealing with actual meat, if you're dealing with basar behema, if you're dealing with cow and cheese, given that there's no cooking here, there's no isra menatir, there's no biblical prohibition. So it should emerge that it's only gzeir l'gzeir, meaning rabbinically it's forbidden to eat the two together if you're not cooking them together. So there's only rabbinic prohibition. So why then do you have an additional gzeira? Why do you have an additional prohibition to put two on the same table? The Gemara answers, there's a concern that maybe you'll put the two on the same table with an ilfas rishon and a klei rishon. The Rashba explains, the kulu chad gzeira hi, ugzeira shem yechata, yitna rather, be ilfas riseach. It's all one exact, it's all one concern. And the concern is that you might put a boiling hot pot of meat or a boiling hot frying pan of meat on the table and then end up putting cheese inside of the, inside of the meat pan and cooking the two together. And we know also the Basar Behem of the Reisa. The law yal de kaima ha the kavasa harbi betalmud. Ugdelim yizu amru gazru al pitan mishum shamnon vi al shamnon mishum yenon vi al yenon mishum resen. To read that again, the I loy ha loy kaima ha utigidv u dechevasa harbi betalmud. The Rashi was telling us that sometimes you might have a multi-layered gzeira, because if one of the layers is missing, then the ultimate step on the gzeira will also be missing. Meaning to say that if you don't prohibit putting meat and milk on the same table, then it's very likely that you'll end up cooking meat and milk on the same table. And the Rashi says we have a similar instance of a multi-layered gzeira, in which the Chazal assumed that each layer of the gzeira was necessary in order that the gzeira would ultimately be carried out, in order that the ultimate step of the gzeira would be fulfilled. We see on Shabbos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, it says, Gazru al pitan mishum shamnam. Chazal made a gzeira against non-Jewish bread, so that one not come to eat non-Jewish oil. Val shamnan, and why do they say that one should not consume non-Jewish oil? Mishum yenam. Because it's a concern that somebody might come to consume non-Jewish wine. Val yenon, and the concern for drinking non-Jewish wine is mishum b'nei sayin, that one might come to intermarry. V'lav gzeir l'gzeirahin, and says the Rashba, this is not different gzeiras, not one gzeira, not one rabbinic prohibition, or not one rabbinic boundary, which comes to bound something else. Ela chadahi, but it's all one thing, the iloy ha, loy kaimaha, because in the absence of one, there will not be the other, and the same, and so is the opinion of the Meiri. Rashi explains the gzeira not to put chicken and meat on the same table is that you might come to put actual meat and cheese on the same table and eat them together. It's not considered to be a gzeira the gzeira, because when one becomes used to eating meat or milchiks together with fleishiks, then one will almost certainly, one will inevitably get confused and they'll put actual meat on the table with milk. So, according to Rashi, the gezeira is you might come to transgress a biblical prohibition. Rambam in Hilchos Machor Sasuris, Perek Tes Lachof, explains the concern is that you might come to transgress an Ister Abanon, and he says, Osir lahalis ha'oif im ha'gvina al ha'shulchan shehu oichel olav. It's forbidden to put chicken together with cheese on a table on which you're eating, as a restriction against getting used to averus or putting oneself in a context which they'll transgress averus. Shema yechal zeim zeh, because you might come to eat one with the other. Afal pi she'oif becholov also midivir sefer. Even though it's the case that oif becholov is osir, even though it's the case that chicken with milk is rabbinically forbidden. Now, the question is, if the Rambam thinks this is only Midrabanon, why would there be a gzeira on an Isser which is open Midrabanon? So that Baz explains, Osu chizuch l'divreyim kishel teira, di'i loyha loykaimaha. Meaning to say that if you're lacking one element of the gzeira, then inevitably you'll also be missing the other element of the gzeira. And it's very similar to an Isser teira, meaning that chicken and meat is very similar, chicken and milk is very similar to milk and meat. Rashi explains that the concern is Vilma Asi Limechlinu Kiadadi, the Konagi Ubali Meadadi. That the concern is that you might come to eat the meat and cheese together, and that the two will touch one another and absorb from one another. The Iri explains Shulchanis Shalahem Ktanis, that apparently, back in the day, in times of the Gemara, they would eat in very small tables. It was very common that people's foods would touch one another on the same table, and as a result, based on the reality in the times of the Gemara, it was particularly problematic to have chicken and cheese on the same table. The Gemara had said, "Be'ezah shulchan amru," where is it problematic to put meat and cheese on the same table? B'shulchan sh'eichel olav, on the table on which one is eating. Aval, b'shulchan sh'sudu olav is a tapshil. But on a table in which you are merely arranging foods like a countertop, one can put the two together and there's no concern. Rashi in Dibur Maskel Shulchan explains, the table on which one eats. The Aidi v'mashmashi be'yada osi le'asnuche zal gabizeh. That since you're touching the food with your hands, presumably the people there were not eating with forks, you are likely to put one on the other. So the concern is that since while you're eating your hands are dirty, it's very possible that you'll stick your hand in one dish and stick your hand in the other dish, and you'll mix the meat and milk. And this is different from a countertop, where there you're not, or at least the assumption is, that you're not sticking your hand into one, sticking your hand in the other, and therefore you're not going to be mixing the two. How does Shulchan Aruch Paskin? He tells us, afilu besar chaya ve'oif, even the meat of a wild animal, like say a deer or a chicken, osur lahalos al shulchan shechalov gvina, one may not put these meats on a table upon which one is eating milk. Shelo yavei la'ochlam yachan, so that one should not come to eat them together. Aval, b'shulchan shesuder alav tatav shil, but on the table, on a countertop, on which one is preparing dishes, mutter litin zeh b'tzad zeh, one can put them side by side. Aruch HaShulchan Leisei explains, shechachomim mirchiku zeh mipnei hergal aveira. The sages distance us from this behavior because the concern of one getting used to doing others. Afshu itzer kal derabanan, even though it is a minor rabbinic prohibition, the mipneishu davar tmidi umatzoi, given that this is a constant and prevalent thing, hirchiku mehergel avera af bedavar kal. The sages said we should stay far away from getting used to doing averis, even with something which is relatively lenient. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan continues, shafilu tav shul shal basar bilvad, even something which was merely cooked with meat, osir la loisa in tav shul shal cholod bilvad, you cannot put it with something that was cooked with milk. So meaning, let's say you cooked beef and broccoli, and then you put the beef on the table, and then you had cooked, say, spinach with cheese, and you put only the spinach on the table. So according to Aruch HaShulchan, you're not be allowed to put it on the table. Kaven the Beis Hillel choshishu livli lis ragel avera afilu avera kala v'lachin kol shem basar v'shem cholav asar. Anything which has the name of meat or the name of milk is forbidden. And this is also the position of the Shut Shari Yesher. So the Pesach of the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shut Shari Yesher is that not only is it the case that meat and milk can have a place on the same table, but even a tavshil shel chalav or a tavshil shel basar, something that was cooked with meat or cooked with milk, cannot be put on the same table simultaneously. Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes the Gan Melech, who says that it would not be sufficient to put a shomer, to have somebody to watch you and make sure that you will not eat the meat and cheese together, because the Gemara is a requirement called deis, which means you need to have two people who are eating at the same table who remind one another not to eat meat and milk. And that would only be true in a case of a heker, and you need both the two requirements of both deis and heker. What about shari surim? So we've learned there's a problem to put cheese and meat on the same table. But what about would you be able to put cheese and pork on the same table? Or beef and pork on the same table? So it would seem that only if the two types are heter is there concern that you might come to eat the two. However, by something which has a halachic status of bidili in shimine, many people stay away from this, like a nevela, like a non-properly shechted animal, let's say non-kosher beef. And there's no concern that somebody will come to eat that food, to eat the non-kosher beef, together with kosher meat. The Shach in Sefkat and Beis quotes the Rush in Adorian, Daf Mem Aleph and Beis. And the Rush implies that even by Shari Surim, there is this Harchaka, that even by Shari Surim, even let's say by pork or other forbidden things, that you should put a heker on the table if you're eating kosher food on a table where there's non-kosher food. And therefore, the Rosh explains that there's a heter, there's a leniency for somebody who has taken an oath not to have any pleasure from his fellow man, that he can eat with the other individual at the table, given that he hates this person and therefore will not come to eat from his food. Which implies if that were not the case, then the two would not be able to eat together. Shach rejects this on the grounds that Nedarim are similar to Basar B'Cholov, given that the food is inherently permitted. But there is an Isser, which is external, which is being attached to the food. Therefore, there's a concern that you might come to eat the other person's food, much like the concern which would apply to Basar B'Cholov. Ultimately, the Shach concludes that only by Basar B'Cholov, Nedarim, and Chametz would there be the concern that you might come to eat from the problematic food. And the common denominator between all these foods being that inherently, intrinsically, basar, cholov, chametz, and nedarim are foods which are inherently mutter, just there's some external isser which is adhering to the foods. Most other achrenim also quote this din, that when it comes to other Yisurim, there's no concern of putting the kosher and non-kosher food on the table together. And that's the opinion of the Pri Chodesh Neis Aleph, the Pri Toyer Neis Aleph, the Kresa Neis Beis, the Aruch HaShulchan Neis Beis, the Kaf Chaim Neis Gimel, and many others. However, the Shach writes that one should not put kosher food on the same table as non-kosher bread. And the reason being, the Shach quotes the Pasuk in Dvarim, "Sha'al ha'lechem yichye ha'odam." People live off bread, and people are therefore very likely to make mistakes, and the concern there exists by any iser. So, meaning that you might come to, let's say, if you're eating kosher meat, you might come to take the non-kosher bread and forget and eat the other meat. This is also the opinion of the Pri Chodesh and the Kaf Chaim. However, the Birkei Yosef quotes the Ramban in Avodah Zarah, the Samach of Mabez, who distinguishes between the prohibition of eating milk and meat, which the sages said that one should not eat the two together, and chalas chutz la'aretz, the bread of outside of Eretz Yisrael, which Chazal did not make a gzera on, even though chalas chutz la'aretz is bread and it's available to anyone, there could be some isurim which pertain to chalas chutz la'aretz, and nonetheless, Chazal never made a gzera on chalas chutz la'aretz. So therefore, Birkei Yosef infers that there should not be any isser of harchaka, even on bread that could be problematic. The Achrenim argue about putting candles made out of butter or made out of fat on a table together with meat. Pesach Tshuva in Ois Aleph brings this question. He says that the Eliyazuta says that one should not make candles out of butter and light them on a table, because it's concerned that the butter might come and drip onto the meat. The Beis Lechem Yehuda says the same would be true even if the candles were made out of meat fat. However, the Prima Godim says that there's a concern that when it comes to using butter, if you make the candle out of butter, you might shake the candle and it will spill onto the food. However, if you're dealing with a candle that's made out of meat fat, there's no concern that it will drip, and apparently this had something to do with the way that candles made out of meat fat were made back in the day. However, the Chida in Shurei Bracha says that many people of Yerushalayim don't bring onto the table, or don't put on their table, a candle which is made out of forbidden fat, and that would be true even if the candle is solid and the candle is unlikely to drip. Let's move on to Sif Beis. Sif Beis discusses the heter of achnasoyim. So in Sif Aleph we learned that you're not meant to eat meat and milk at the same table. But in Sif Beis, we're going to learn that if there are two people who are eating together at the same table, one eating meat and one eating milk, there might be circumstances under which these two people are permitted to eat together. The Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Zayin Mid Beis, is as follows. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, Shnei achnasoyim uichan al shulchan echad ze basar, v'ze gvina v'ein choshishin. Two guests are permitted to eat on the same table. One eats meat and the other eats cheese. There's no concern. In the Gemara we learn, Am Rav Chanan Bar Ami, Amar Shmuel. Rav Chanan Bar Ami said the name of Shmuel. Loishanu Ella She'ein Makirin Ze'ezze. They're only allowed to eat meat and cheese at the same table if they do not know one another. Av Makirin Ze'ezze, but if they know one another, then Asar it's forbidden. Tainam Yachi we similarly learn. Shimgam Lilaimer, Shimgam Lil said, Shteach Nasoyim Shnes Archu. lipundak echad. If you have two guests who are being hosted at one inn, one is traveling from the north, one is traveling from the south. One comes with his slab of meat, and the other comes with a piece of cheese. They're permitted to eat on one table. One gets to eat meat and the other cheese, and there's no concern. And it's only forbidden if they're eating b'tfisa achas. So we're going to see that this term b'tfisa achas is a matter of controversy amongst Rishonim, so we won't translate it for the moment. Literally, it means one grasp, but we'll see what that means in the Rishonim, and there are two very different ways of understanding this. So the Gemara then asks, t'fisa achas salka daitach, would the Isra only apply to t'fisa achas? No. Ella ke'in t'fisa achas, but rather to a case which is like t'fisa achas. Amlir v'yemer b'shlamya la'abaye. Rav Yemer b'shlamya said to Abaye, shnei achin umakpidin zelze mau. What would be the din if you have two brothers who dislike one another, or two brothers who are not on cordial terms and therefore do not share with one another, and therefore there'd be no concern that they'd be sharing the meat? What would the din be? Would they be allowed to eat at the same table or not? So the Gemara answers that they should not be allowed to, because Gemara says, "Kol asrikin asurin, usriki baisos mutarin." Basically, this is a Talmudic phrase to say that of leipluk, which is that we don't make distinctions because people won't necessarily be able to discern distinctions. The context of the Gemara is Gemara Msochim, which talks about decorated matzahs. And the Gemara says one should never make decorated matzahs. And even though the house of Baisus knew how to make decorated matzahs in a way that would not cause any chimutz, that would not cause any problems to the matzah making process, nonetheless, Chazal said, "Kol hasrikin asurin," and we will not even allow the circuit advisors because people will not know to distinguish between the proper type and the improper type. So, in a similar fashion, in our case, even though these two particular brothers dislike each other and these two particular brothers do not share, nonetheless, the Gemara says that the brothers will not be allowed to eat at the same table without a hacker. Standing Gemara asks, "Lo taimeich, if you make this rule of leipluk, if you say that we don't make distinctions based on people's individual cases, then what about the following case? Somebody who only has one shirt is permitted to wash it on Chol HaMoed. Somar asks, Yoimru, kol asrikin asurin usrikin bayis mutarin. Won't people say that this is a problematic case because we'll say that it should be like plug. People will make a mistake and think that if we see this guy washing his shirt on a Chol HaMoed, the people won't know that he only has one shirt. So my answer is Ha'amar my Rav Ashi izurei michiach olav. This person is wearing a girdle or he's wearing a t-shirt. He's not wearing any other shirts. He's going around only wearing an undershirt. So we're able to tell this person only has one shirt to wear, and that's why we're allowing him to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. So based on this Gemara, Rashbag, or Shimon Gamaliel's heter, of two people eating together derives from the fact that they don't know one another. And Rashi explains, if they don't want to know one another, Dibur Maschil Shnei, Rashi says, "In lochush sheyichal zeh mishal chaveh." There's no concern that one will eat from his fellow man's food. And it appears that Rashi is explaining that the concern is that they might come to touch one another's food and thereby mix two foods. If they don't know one another, then they're not going to touch one another's food because somebody would not touch a stranger's food. Tosfos and Dibur Maschil Ke'ein Tfisa Achas brings two different opinions as to what Tfisa Achas means. One is based on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. There in Daf Nun Amud Aleph, the Gemara discusses stones which are close to an Avodah Zarah called Marculis, mercury, which would be served by throwing stones at it. And the concern is if these stones, which are in the vicinity of mercury, have a concern they might be stones of Avodah Zarah and are thereby Osir Bano. So Gemara says that if they're in Tfisa Achas, if they're in one unit, then it's forbidden to use the stones. An example would be if there's some partition between the Avodah Zarah and the stones, then the stones are considered permitted. And this explains that this is the source of the minhag to place a jug or some other thing to separate between the meat and the milk, or alternatively that everybody eats on their own tablecloth, and that would be considered shtei tfisas, that would be considered 2 units. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, brings another example of what tfisa achas might be with respect to two brothers inheriting things. And there, the Gemara explains that tfisa achas means that there is that both brothers have some claim to the object that they've inherited. So the Gemara is asking, or the Gemara is saying, that only if the two people both own the item, they both own the food, would it be the case that they'd be forbidden to eat it together. The Gemara asks, does that really make sense? And the Gemara says that if the two foods are considered as if they're under both people's jurisdiction, and that would be a case in which the two people know one another, then it's considered tfis achat, it's considered that both have some grasp on the food, and it would be forbidden. And according to this, there would be no permission to eat at the same table, even if one uses a heker. Many Rishonim cite Tosfos' first explanation. And according to that first explanation, so long as there is a heker, it would be permissible to eat the two items at one table, to eat the milk and the meat together at the same table. Amongst the Rishonim who understand this way are the Rush in Chulin, Perek Ches Halacha Chof, the Rash Ben Teres Abayis, Bayis Gimel Shar Dalid, the Meiri in Chulin, Kuvdalman Beis, Hagoyis Mamonius, and Perek Tesvich Machol Suris, Is Ain. However, there are many Rishonim who understand, according to the second explanation thesis, according to which heker would not work, and amongst them are Rabbeinu Gershon on Chulin Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, and that it also seems to be the explanation of the Rambam in Hilchos Tes of Hilchos Machalos Asuris, Perek Chaf Aleph, who did not cite this din of Tfisa. How does Shulchan Aruch paskin? Shulchan Aruch says, Hod Asur Lahalese Al Shulchan. Under what circumstances is it forbidden to put meat and milk on the same table? Only in a case of two people who know one another. Even if they dislike one another. But when it comes to guests, two guests at a hotel who do not know one another would be permissible. And even for people who know one another, im asu shum heker, if they made some boundary to separate between the two, kigoin shkol echad oichel al mapa shulay. For example, each one eats on his own tablecloth. Oy afilu oichlem al mapa achas v'noisim b'neim pas leheker. Or even if they're eating on one tablecloth and they put between them bread as some sort of object of recognition, then it would be mutter. Then it would be permissible for the two to eat on the same table. Seemingly, according to the Rishonim, who hold like Tosfos' second explanation, it wouldn't work at all to make a heker at a table when you have two people who know one another. So if two people know one another, heker shouldn't work. However, the Rambam in Perush Mishnayos Techulin, Perek Ches Mishnah Beis, explains that the permission for two guests to eat at the same table applies in a case, she'ein makirim zeze, the two people do not know one another, ve'ein b'nehem kiruv das zelo ze, and they don't have positive feelings, they don't feel close to one another, ad kidei she'yesh dechad mehem es yodoy l'mashay chaver, to the point that one would stick out his hand into his friend's dish. The implication being that if this were not the case, if there's no concern the two will not share, if there's no concern rather the two will share, then they would be allowed to eat at the same table. So based on this, the Pesachei Tshuva cites Marshal, who said that if two people are eating at a distance from one another, such that one cannot stick out his hand and eat from what his fellow man is eating, then everybody would agree that it's permissible to eat even without a heker, and that is also the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan, the Kaf HaChaim, and many others. Shulchan Aruch rules that people who know one another are not allowed to eat at the same table, meat and milk, even if they dislike one another, even if they don't get along and they don't share. The Marshal holds that this chumrah should only apply to brothers who, even if they dislike one another, even if they have issues with one another, ultimately, this is a dislike, or this is a issue which stems from their closeness to one another. However, if you have other people who know one another, but who dislike one another, then it would certainly be permissible. And he learns this from the Gemara, who asked this particularly by brothers. Marshall reasons that if it were the case that people who generally knew one another, but who disliked one another, would be forbidden to eat at the same table, then Gemara should have mentioned that as well. However, the Taz in Sifkat and Beis rejects the Marshal's reasoning, and he says that the Gemara is not speaking about brothers specifically, but rather the Gemara is issuing a loypluk. It's saying that there's no distinction, and therefore there should be no distinction between brothers and other people who know one another, because even by other people who know one another, we'll say loypluk, and that also appears to be the opinion of the Shach. However, the Prima Gadim notes that if two people took a vow that they're not going to have any pleasure from one another, then it would be permissible for them to eat meat and cheese together because they hate one another. We can explain that there is a distinction in the Prima Gadim between dislike and hating one another. Because when people dislike one another, it's not necessarily the case that the hakpada, that their particularity, comes from some fundamental issue, but rather it's about cleanliness, maybe it's about that they're stingy or something like that. So ultimately, we're even concerned there because of a loy pluk, meaning that it could be that this hakpada is not a hakpada which is so powerful that it'll make it such that two people will never share. But if the two hate one another, then presumably we cannot say leplug, because they're not under that gzeir of leplug, because they hate one another, so they'll certainly never share no matter what. However, the Yad Yehuda says that even if two people hate each other, we do say leplug, and we would not allow them to eat at the same table without a hekker. What sort of hekker does one need? Tosfos brings two different ways to make a hekker between foods. One is to place an object on the table. An example of the object in question would be bread or a pitcher. Or alternatively, it would be to eat with two different tablecloths or two different placemats. These two hekkers help people be mindful of the fact that one is eating cheese and one is eating meat, and therefore separates between the two. And the people will not share. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch rules. Vafilu hamakirin, even people know one another, im asu shum heker, if they made something to separate between them. Kigoin shekol echad oichel al mapa shaloi. For example, each one is eating on his own tablecloth. Oy afilu oichel al mapa achas, or they're even sharing the same tablecloth. Venoistin beneim pas la heker, and they put between them a loaf of bread as a heker. Then mutter, then it would be permissible for them, for one to eat bread and one to eat meat. Hagoas Hashri in the Rosh explains that bread could only be a heker if the two people are not eating the bread, if they're not sharing the bread at the same meal. Because if they're eating from it, then it's not recognizable as something which creates a barrier between them, but is rather part of the meal. Beis Yosef, at the end of Simon Kuf Ayin Gimel, extrapolates from this that a pitcher would also work as a heker. He makes the distinction that bread is something which is normally placed on the table, and therefore one can only use bread as a heker if one is not eating from the bread. However, when it comes to a pitcher, if the pitcher is normally not placed on the table, it would still be heker even if people are drinking from the pitcher, given that the presence of the pitcher at the table is sufficient outlier, it's sufficiently strange to cause people to remember that they're not meant to be sharing their meal. However, the Bach in Sif Beis says that a kankan, says that a pitcher, is always like bread. Given that a kankan, a pitcher, even if you don't usually put it on a table, it could still be considered, and it's still be considered part of the meal, and therefore, if people are drinking from the pitcher during the meal, then it would not constitute heker. The Rama writes, V'davke she'in oichel min apas hamunach b'neim l'heker. Bread would only serve as a heker if the two people are not sharing from it. Aval, im oichlim imenu, if they're eating from the bread during in the context of the meal, lo yihavi heker, then it would not count as a heker. The belavach yapashich imenu munach ala shulchan, because the bread they're eating from is placed on the table. But aval, nosnu b'neim klishes soishim imenu, uvelavachi ein darke liis ala shulchan. But if they place a pitcher on the table, And generally speaking, the pitcher is not placed on the table. Then have a heker that would constitute heker, afal pisha shesem nakli, even though they're drinking from this container. The kol shekin imnosnu shamenuira, v'shar dvar mal shulchan have a heker. And certainly, says the Ramah, if they put a candelabra or something like that on the table, some strange thing on the table, that would constitute heker. The Shach and Sifkat Vav agrees to the Ramah, and he rejects the Bach. The Shach and Sifkat Zayin writes that the same would be true for any object that you place on the table, it would constitute heker if, generally speaking, that object is not placed on the table, then this object, when you place it on the table, would constitute heker. And the Taz writes as well in Sifkat and Dalet. And the Taz adds, based on the Arkei Moshe, that the heker needs to be govoya ktsas. It needs to be a little bit high. And Tarek Halacha quotes in the name of Yalkut Me'am Loyez that a little bit high means that it's higher than the plates. The Krasi says that if in general one would always be placing a candelabra at the table, but usually the candelabra or the flower pot, say, would be at the corner of the table, and then you place it in the middle of the table, this would be considered a heker, even though you usually always have a candelabra at the table. That is also the opinion of the Kaf HaChaim in Ois Chofei. Pischei Tshuva says in the name of the Mas Ben Yomin in Kof Yud Beis that if other people are eating at the table, if you're one person eating milch, one eating fleishik, and other people eating pariv, that would work as a heker, and you would not need a physical heker at the table because other people at the table is better than a heker. And he cites what he says in Hilchos Nida. In Hilchos Nida, Sim Kuf Tzadi Hei talks about the context of a woman who's a Nida eating with her husband. So in such a case, the couple is meant to have a heker between them in order that they not become too intimate with one another. Now, there in Sim Kuf Tzadi Hei, the Achrayim generally say that if other people are eating at the table, or many Achrayim say if there are other people there at the table, then there could be grounds for leniency with, and there would be no need for heker. The Mas B'Yomin says that a couple where the wife is a Nida would be allowed even to share the same plate. They'd be allowed to eat out of the same plate while she's a Nida. If other people, let's say the other members of the family, are eating with them, because there's no greater hefsek than this. Meaning that if a couple is eating together with other people, or even their family members, it's unlikely that they're going to violate any Yisurim, that they're going to become too familiar, too intimate with one another. Pischei Tshuva in Sifkat Hei says that if the two people, or if the husband and wife rather, are eating at the same table with others, that would be permitted. However, they're not allowed to eat out of the same plate. Nonetheless, this comparison between Hilchas Nida and Rasim Machalov is a little bit difficult. Because in Hilchas Nida, the Yisoid, the primary principle, is that you're looking to distance between a husband and wife. And if there are other people at the table, then that takes away from the intimacy in the meal. However, in Hilchas Rasim Machalov, there needs to be some sort of heker and reminder so that the two not eat together. And what would it help that other people are eating with them? Because at the end of the day, Basar B'cholov is not about preventing intimacy, but rather it's about making sure that people will not share food. And if you have a group communal meal, it's very likely that people will in fact share food. The Rashba in Mishmeres Abayis by Zayin Rishar Beis says that it would not work for people to eat Basar B'cholov and eat among other people, meaning that eating amongst other people would not be considered a heker. The Levush explains that when we said, or when Shulchan Aruch says that bread is a good heker, that's only true if the bread is a full loaf. However, a piece of bread would not work as a heker. And that is also the opinion of the Knesset HaGdolah, who says that it would be ordinary to have a piece of bread on a table at the time when people are eating. Whereas it's not ordinary to just put a plain loaf of bread on the table in between two people. That's also the opinion of Kaf HaChaim, that there's a distinction between a full loaf of bread and a piece of bread. A full loaf of bread would be a good heker, and a mere piece of bread would not be a good heker. Does one need a heker if one's eating together with a non-Jew, even a non-Jew who one knows, or a secular Jew or a child? The Ramban in Avodah Zarah Daf Samech Vav Amud Beis writes, She'im Uichel Im Hagoy Al HaShulchan. If one is eating together with a non-Jew on a table, mala olav yayin nesech v'shar yisurin ve'en yisrael nimna milechol imay, Meaning to say that if a Jew and a non-Jew are eating together at the same table, the non-Jew will presumably be eating non-kosher food. So as a result, the Jew doesn't need a heker because he's going to know not to eat the non-Jew's food, and that is also what we can infer from the Shachatz of Cotton Bates. The Yirah Brura, based on the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Gimel, explains that we also require deis. Heker is not enough, but you also need this concept of deis, of opinions. Meaning to say that you need two people who will remind one another, and then you also need a shinoi, you also need a heker, some sort of separation between two people at the table. So you have two conditions, both heker and deis, that there needs to be a physical boundary, but you also need two people who are going to remind one another that they should not be sharing food at this meal. However, if one is eating alone, then a heker would not be sufficient, and therefore there's a question of what the din would be by a non-Jew or an irreligious Jew. Oh. Is that considered to be a deya with respect to basar b'cholov? Meaning, can you rely on the non-Jew or the irreligious Jew to remind you not to share milk and meat with them? And the answer would be no, you can't rely on this non-Jew or this non-religious Jew to remind you not to eat the meat or milk with them. The same would be true that a heker would not work for a child unless the child is smart enough and knows enough to remind you not to share meat with them at the meal. The primary factor in this siman, in siman peches, has been physical harchokis between meat and milk. In siman peites, we're going to learn about harchokis in zman, harchokis in time, between meat and milk. And then in siman tzadi zayin, we'll see another harchokis between meat and milk, which is that you're not meant to cook dairy bread. But siman peches ends with some other harchokis. Hagos Ashri in Chulin, Perches Siman Chof, quotes the Or Zeruah. And he says that there's a minog of Rabbeinu Kleinemus and Rabbeinu Yehuda that they would not drink out of one cup, as in they would not share the same cup when they were eating meat and milk at the same table, even if they were at different parts of the table. And it's not that it's usher to do this, but rather it was arachaka. This Vater in Charmem Siman Yudal explains that the reason why they would not drink out of the same cup was because, number one, they might come to eat with one another, but then two, more saliently, sometimes, or very often, when you're eating a milchik meal and then you put your mouth onto a cup, there's going to be some fat which adheres to the cup. V'nidbak oz b'kli uveileya kol echad mimenu, and it's going to stick to the cup. So if you're sharing a cup and one person's eating fleishiks and then passes the cup to the person who's eating milchiks, the person who's eating milchiks will get some of the fleishik fat which had been on the other person's mouth, which got onto the kli. So the Amar writes, the use herein shuli lishtis mikli achad. You should be careful not to drink out of one kli. Mishum shamaychol nidbak bikli, because food adheres, food sticks to the cup. The kol shekein shuli yechlin pasachas, and similarly they should not eat for one piece of bread. The Shach and Sivkot Ches explains that given that the chashash here is not connected to a heker, there's an isser, even if people are at two different tables, and even if they don't know one another, they're not allowed to share the same cup. Shut Beis Yaakov, Siman Yud Beis, says that somebody who ate meat and now wants to wait a little, now needs to wait a little bit until they eat milk, as we'll see in Siman Peites, this should be 6 hours, they should not sit with somebody who's eating milk, because it's a concern that the person who's eating milk might share their milk meal with the person who had eaten fleishik. However, the Pimigodna Mishpitz Zav Ois Beis says that he never saw people who were concerned about this, and furthermore, it's a gzeir l'gzeira, and we shouldn't be that strict, and that's also the opinion of most Paiskim, like the Aruch HaShulchan in Ois Aleph, and the Kaf HaChaim in Ois Chaf Aleph. Now, just backing up to this idea of drinking out of the same kli, Pesach HaMetshuvos brings a very interesting contemporary case. Many people nowadays will walk around with a reusable water bottle. It could be a metal water bottle, it could be a plastic water bottle, what have you, disposable. But the point being that they'll use the same water bottle from meal to meal. And since I'm talking about Pesach HaMetshuvos, since people tend not to wash out their water bottles between meals, one should not drink from this water bottle at a fleishik meal or a milch meal. Rather, they should only drink from the water bottle between meals. And at the meal itself, you should use a cup. And then he says, we can assume, or it's most often the case in contemporary period, that people wash out cups between meals, but they don't necessarily wash out water bottles between meals. Nonetheless, Pesachim Hatshuva says that the best thing to do is to have two separate cups, as in to have milk cups and fleishik cups in your house, so you'll never run into any concerns. The final topic of discussion in our Siman, which will also be discussed in Siman Sadihe Sif Zayin, is the concept of salt shakers. So the Ramah says, V'chinoygin liyachin kli shalmel chol echa b'thi atzmen. The custom is that each person should have his own kli, his own container of salt, ki lefamin tuivlin b'melech, v'nishru shiuri meichel b'melech, because very often people will dip into salt, and there will be leftovers of the food in the salt. So the concern would be that if you have a fleishik meal, and you're sticking fleishiks into the salt, then you'll have salt which adheres to the meat. Or if you have a milk meal, then milk will adhere to the salt. And then if the two people are sharing a salt dish, then there might be meat and milk mixing in the salt dish. Knesset HaGedolah Yisrael says that it's proper for every householder to have two different containers of salt, one for milk and one for meat, because you might come to dip meat into the salt, and then there'll be some meat left over in the salt, and then you'll end up dipping cheese into salt at some later point. And the Chidah or HaShulchan Zechei Tzedek and the Chafei Chaim all say that it's best to have two different dishes for salt, one for milk and one for meat. However, the contemporary Achrayim explain that this applied back in the day when what people would do for salt is they would have a little dish of salt and you would dip things directly into the salt. And in such a case, in such a reality, it would be very likely that you would have meat and milk mixing. However, with contemporary salt shakers, where the salt shaker is closed and it's almost impossible to stick anything into the salt shaker, presumably you would not need two different salt shakers. You would only need one salt shaker, which you could use for both milks and fleishiks. And that's the opinion of the Rav Brura. And the Badei HaShulchan also notes that there's a significant distinction between our salt shakers and the salt dishes that they used back in the day. And therefore he says that in principle, it would be permissible to use the same salt shaker both for milk meals and fleishik meals. However, he says that there's a minog that people should use separate salt shakers and separate sugar shakers for meat and milk. And particularly when you have small children around, there's a concern that the small children are going to put bits of meat and milk onto the salt shakers.